This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. We have such a great show today for you, and we're going to talk about what it is like to build a company. So a startup is like being thrust into the middle of an Amazonian rainforest, living every day on the edge of your comfort zone, vulnerable to the unexpected challenges being thrown your way, and constantly shifting to meet daily demands and struggling to survive. My guest today knows a lot about that. His name is Tyler Gage, and he turned down a Fulbright grant in order to start a company called Runa, and he's pioneering this organization now where they use rare Amazonian tea leaf called Guayusa to create organic energy drinks. Tyler had no previous business experience with this and turned all these spiritual lessons he learned while he was living with these indigenous elders in the Amazon as his guide and playbook for running Runa into a multi-million dollar enterprise. Tyler's here today with us, and he's going to share his inspiring story and how he uses his experience in the Amazon for his now professional and personal mission in life. Tyler, welcome to the show. So happy to have you with me today.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Erica.
I know that I just tried to give everybody a brief synopsis of, you know, really what you are doing, but I imagine you could explain it so much better. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and why you were in the Amazon and how this all came to be?
That was quite a good explanation, I must say. It's a good starting point, so thanks for teeing it up so well.
Oh,
I guess
well,
to fill
thank
in a bit of the color, what originally brought me to the Amazon was actually feeling lost. You know, what came ultimately into a very purpose-driven business started from my experiences as a young person going to college and feeling a lot of anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. which is something I know lots of listeners and lots of people can relate to.
Yes.
And I think in our culture, we don't often relate to feelings of being lost or in transition as much of an opportunity. And for me as a young person, it was a struggle, but through a range of weird circumstances and following some intuitive feelings, I found myself deep in the Amazon at the age of 20 and spent a few years living with the Shipibo people. The Shipibo is a indigenous tribe in the Peruvian Amazon on the Ucayali River. Mm. And beyond the incredible way that these people relate to the rainforest as ultimately their supermarket and pharmacy, so much of their language and their identity is really embedded in the rainforest. And for me, I not only found really incredible healing for my own challenges and anxiety, but also felt inspired and wanted to find ways to create new income for these communities. I'd frequently wake up and hear chainsaws cutting down hardwood trees. And one day I confronted one of the men in the village, and his short answer to my confrontational question about how he could speak about his environmental values ultimately and then cut down trees, he looked at me and said, "If you had to choose between cutting down a tree or not having enough money to send your kid to school, what would your choice be?" Mm-hmm. And that experience hit me pretty hard and got me thinking more about ways to create sustainable income for these people, where they could share some of these incredible products they have in the rainforest and use that as a way to support their family. So that was the ultimate vision of where Runa, the company, came from.
Fantastic. And so what was it about Guayusa, or am I saying that correctly?
Close, Guayusa. It's a bit of a weird word, though, a very deliciously accessible plant. It is a pretty word. So Guayusa is a really fascinating plant. So, I mean, among the 50,000 different plants in the Amazon, it's the one that really caught my eye.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was wondering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Quechua people, who we work primarily with now in Ecuador, it's really the lifeblood of their people. For them, it's like the apex of their relationship to the natural world and even a big part of their identity. And these communities get up at about 3 o'clock in the morning. The whole community sits around the fire and boils big pots full of Guayusa as tea. And it's a plant that is brewed like tea, but it's not actually related to the kind of green and black tea a lot of listeners might be familiar with. It's a plant that just grows in this one little sliver of the Amazon, and it has a really interesting combination of caffeine and antioxidants. And for me, I've always been very caffeine sensitive. Coffee or Red Bull would make me, you know, bounce off the walls pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I drank the Guayusa and felt really focused, really alert, like it was a different kind of energy. But also realized that no one had ever commercially produced this. So not even nationally within Ecuador, this was very much just a indigenous tradition kind of kept as a bit of a secret in the rainforest. Brought that back to college, and I wrote a business plan my last semester with one of my best friends for this kind of harebrained theme of creating a beverage company from this leaf and building the first ever supply chain for it, which we ended up getting good support on, and followed what really was just a pretty strong intuition and feeling in our hearts, like there was a reason to do this. I think logically it was an incredibly idiotic thing to do as 23-year-olds at that point. Moving to the jungle to start a business. But there felt like something real there, which we followed.
And were, so the indigenous people, were they supportive of helping you too? I mean, you know, turning, I feel like it's sacred. There's so much sacred tradition and there's communities, and to turn this into more of a mass market type of product, were they open to it? And I'm sure you figured out a way to support their lives as well, but how was that for them? And how did you begin? You know, I talk about communication a lot in life, and obviously I run a center and I'm a therapist. And so like, how did you communicate with these people in a way that they were open-hearted and open-minded to you?
That's a great question, and one which we've taken very seriously. So we got mixed responses early on. In a lot of cases, when we talked to communities and said that we wanted to use cash to buy guayusa leaves and then put them in bottled drinks and sell them in New York City, they would give us these blank stares and then just laugh hysterically. They thought it was a huge joke, and just the concept of it was so strange.
Yeah.
And then in other circumstances, we would actually talk to certain elders who say that they'd seen in their dreams that guayusa would reach the world, and that this was like a messenger of their people to show the beauty and richness of their traditions in the rainforest. So kind of complete polar opposites. Yeah. In terms of how we related to the native communities, we took a very, what we called like a liberal arts approach to business, which might sound a bit strange, but you know, I studied Amazonian languages and creative writing, and Dan, my partner, studied marine biology. So what we knew how to do at that point was act like students. So we approached these people with a very open-minded attitude. We asked lots of questions. We really were humble about what we didn't know. And, you know, in my book, Fully Alive, I talk about this idea of being, finding strength in vulnerability and not trying to pretend like we knew everything, but really lean into the openness and the spaciousness of what we were creating and find collaboration there. And a lot of that came through relating to the spiritual roots of these people. You know, it's what originally brought me there. And I think they saw and really felt that we primarily didn't see this as a commodity or a product. We saw this as a message and an opportunity to connect to the deeper roots of how these people live and this relationship to the natural world that could carry beyond the rainforest itself. So that was really instrumental. And as well, you know, that's kind of where this idea for the book came from, was seeing the relevance of those lessons and the connection between those spiritual teachings and how they informed, and maybe a bit of an unexpected twist, really practical business lessons.
How special that you got the chance in life to spend the time and to heal yourself in that way. Obviously you've done a lot of healing through your experience there. And as I was even reading about your story, I was like, gosh, you know, I wish I could do that too. And I'm sure so many people are like, I'd like to go and live in the Amazon and learn and immerse yourself. And instead, you know, we're all not going to be able to do that, but through your book, right, Fully Alive, we can get a sense of what you learned, right? And kind of the lessons in which they imparted onto you. And, you know, I feel like so many people daydream or crave that kind of experience to escape and learn from someone and something so foreign to them. And so could you tell us a little bit about how you made that opportunity happen?
For sure. And first, you and everyone else is very welcome to come hang out in Ecuador anytime. Open invitation there.
Do people always say that to you, though? Like, oh, wow, I would love to do that. Or do you hear this a lot? Or am I one of the only people that was like, oh, I would love to do that?
No, for sure we do. And I mean, it's one of the reasons we have a big internship program and volunteer program as well in the rainforest to facilitate those experiences.
Oh, you'll have to tell us about that.
For sure. Yeah, we do a lot through our foundation. So we're just quick sidebar, but we're half nonprofit, half for profit, which is part of our social innovation model. And through our foundation, Runa Foundation, we facilitate a lot of those internship and volunteer programs. But one of the things I love breaking down with that question is that obviously I've gotten involved in some very seemingly strange, esoteric, exotic things, but really it came through very simple means. For me, I felt really lost at the age of 20, and I read books. I emailed people, and I got invitations, and I followed them. So it really wasn't like crazy, magical synchronicities that just all of a sudden I appeared in the Amazon. It was like something, I was reading things, I felt curious, I followed that, I reached out to people, I talked to people, and it was very human. It was very, it really just took the will to say, hey, like, there's something there, and I'm going to follow it. And it might not make the most sense or be logical, but I'm going to follow that lead and trust it. And I think for most people, we just kind of say no to that voice inside of ourselves, which wants to learn about something that might seem a bit strange or go somewhere, but it might not be super easy. And I think that the value of that, those unexpected experiences and trusting that voice inside can lead to really amazing things.
And so pushing yourself. Yeah. But isn't it pushing yourself through some fears? Because I know people would, you know, I mean, I think our fear is one of the biggest things that keeps us from creating change and actually putting yourself maybe in a place where you're like, that may be too dangerous. Or I don't speak the language or, you know, I mean, there's so many things that could come up that, like you said, that really create that kind of block for people to actually walk through the fire, go through the fear, you know, not just sit and think about it, but actually take action. So that's, yeah. It's fantastic.
Without question. I think you just nailed it on the head. And that's really the central theme. And I think the central lesson that I outline throughout Fully Alive is this idea of relating to obstacles as teachers. And it was perhaps like the most fundamental thing I saw on the Amazon is that these are people who, rather than shying away from challenges or weaknesses or what we call could call our shadow, they really honor it as something they can learn from. And that's what inspires us to dig deeper, to find strength, to learn deeper parts of ourselves, to find greater purpose, greater connection. So that just simple reorientation of saying, huh, there's fear there, rather than, okay, there's fear, I'm going to resist it and shy away from it. There's fear there. I can learn something. That's a sign for me that there's an edge there. And if there's an edge, there's an opportunity for growth. And then, of course, the tools and lessons of then how to relate and work through that are important as well.
Yeah, and I love that you say that because I think reframing that kind of outlook on life, which it sounds like, you know, people in other countries and obviously the community that you were involved with, that they help reframe things like that. And also the way that I think we're raised in this country to look at fear and look at failure as something which is, you know, looked so down upon when failure is actually such a fantastic experience and not look, it's just mentally we don't look at things and I think in the healthiest way. So we look at failure as something which is a shameful act versus something that is, I tried something, it didn't work out, and now I'm going to move on and learn the lessons from it. So it's just, I feel like just it's so good for our audience also to hear that there are other ways of looking at things. And I'm such a big proponent for reframing things. So I love that you also found that to be true.
Absolutely. And that's part of why I wanted to write the book is I think we have so many experiences in the world of Runa where, you know, that sounds really nice, but then a lot of people are like, okay, well, how does that really translate to actual reality? And a lot of the support that's come forward and things in our business of the more that I showed up authentically, the more that I was willing to confront fears or things that were uncomfortable, incredible support came forward. You know, so for us, we've been able to attract really amazing investors in our business. Channing Tatum, Leonardo DiCaprio, Olivia Wilde, all were attracted to our business because of the authenticity. And even there's some funny stories in the book about me having to push some of my boundaries of comfort to really be transparent and honest with people to attract those kind of support. So I really feel like it's not just a nice idea to talk about, but when I even look at other businesses I admire, leaders I admire, you really look at the roots of the story and it's those times that they stepped into discomfort that the most strength and the most opportunity came forward.
Absolutely. And the biggest lessons learned, probably. Can you tell us a little bit about Runa? So, you know, obviously you're a co-founder and the chairman of Runa. And what in totality are you doing now? I mean, I know it probably started in one way, but now what is going on?
Yeah, so Runa, we call ourselves a social enterprise. So we're a mission-driven organization. And our mission is to improve livelihoods for farmers in the Amazon and to really create new value for the rainforest. So our core business, we source the guayusa leaves, which we talked about. We've grown the business. We source from over 3,000 indigenous farming families in Ecuador, creating hundreds of thousands of dollars of direct income to support these families who all grow the guayusa organically in the rainforest. So it's a really sustainable agricultural model, and supporting farming families is the roots of what we do.
Then what's the drink now? Is it alive? Has it been born yet? Or
the products?
Yeah, the product. Yeah, with guayusa.
Yeah, so we're one of the fastest growing beverage companies in the U.S. We have two lines of products. So we have a line of organic iced teas in glass bottles. Unsweetened products are the most popular, And then we have carbonated, what we call clean energy drinks. So taking a dramatically different approach to an energy drink, which are often very toxic and full of lots of chemicals. And we made an energy drink that's made from a leaf and not a lab. So it's a great product.
So
it's 100% organic, made from guayusa leaves, great for energy, for midday at work, working out. And we have our products in about 15,000 stores nationwide. So Whole Foods, Safeway, Stop and Shop. And we sell a lot on Amazon.com, ironically.
And it's called Runa?
Runa, yeah, R-U-N-A.
Yeah, okay, so people and then, can, if they see it,
The other thing, given your interest, you might be excited about is through our nonprofit that I mentioned, Runa Foundation, we've been working to create some of the world's first research and treatment facilities in the Amazon to research Amazonian medicine as a medical system. So really trying to bridge these worlds of the holistic healing systems they have and plant medicines in the Amazon with Western research and and doctors. So we have a clinic in Ecuador called NACU. That's an indigenous-run clinic in the Ecuadorian Amazon, and another site in Peru we've been developing. So that's one of the things I'm most passionate about now is how to use those plants for treatment.
I'm such a big proponent of that. I feel like there's so much we don't know and so many healing plants and properties that could help people, you know, in this world of addiction. And it's such an epidemic in our country. And there's so many different ways in which people get sober these days. So I would love to hear more about it. And you and I will definitely talk further about it. But I am always excited to hear that there are other people that are looking or actually living outside this box of what the typical treatment looks like in the United States and looking to other places and other forms of healing, like, you know, like these plants that we don't know much about.
Absolutely. And for me as well, I mean, the Amazon is the largest biopharmacy in the world. And there's been a lot of incredible research and linkages between Western medicine and Chinese medicine nowadays happening.
Yeah.
But for a handful of reasons, it's really been ignored and overlooked to understand Amazonian medicine. And it's really a threat. You know, a lot of these elders are not around anymore. And deforestation is a real threat in the Amazon. And so we're looking at things like treatments for depression, anxiety, which is very personal for me, and also focusing a lot on autoimmune disorders. Recognizing that those are things that Western medicine isn't particularly good at treating. And some of these powerful treatments in the Amazon seem to show a lot of promise for that.
I heard there's a book, and this is a not really a myth, because I think it does exist, but there's a book of Amazonian kind of recipes, medicine recipes, and it's all in a native language, so it's never been translated. And it's I have a friend of mine who's a professional in this field that has come across it and was telling me about it, and I just thought how brilliant to you know, like you said, people are dying off, or these villages are changing, or, you know, obviously the world is changing at such a fast pace that wouldn't it be cool to like get all this information in one place and be able to help millions of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard of a couple projects and books like that, and it's super important, the documentation first, and then opening it up. I mean, the clinic in Ecuador with the Zapara people, they're a tribe of about 500 people. They're they're borderline going on extinction, and they had this vision to create a clinic and a treatment center where they could receive patients to share their medicine and really make impact on people's lives. And we're able to raise a bunch of donations and support the clinic. We had a lot of great donors from Channing Tatum and Will and Jada Pinkett Smith, who had the vision to support the clinic, and now it's up and running. We had a bunch of patients down there week before last, and it's really amazing to see the impact on people's lives.
It's amazing. How long did they stay? Do you know a little bit about the details of that?
Yeah, so it was an 8-day trip. There was kind of two weeks of dietary preparation, and then 8 days of treatment in the Amazon, and then counseling and reintegration on the other side of it.
And where are these clients from? Are they from the United States or from all over the world? Or
This recent trip was with people from the U.S., but there have been people from Canada going down as well. And lots of interest across the world.
Well, how cool would it be to have a continuing program for them in the United States too, which I would love to talk about. But yeah, you know, just to continue on with things. I just had someone on right before you who's her and I wrote a workbook together, and she has a big belief in continuing care. And, you know, even though people start getting treatment for, you know, 2 weeks, 8 days, even 30 days, it's just the beginning, you know, and to continue to have people that would support what you started. Because your brain really does need that time to create new pathways and have the accountability and have the support So that's, you know, and there are so many great programs out here like that too. So that's fantastic.
Fully agree. Fully agree.
Yeah, that is great. So can you tell us a little bit about where people can find you, find the products, and get in touch with everything that you're doing?
Yeah, so my book, Fully Alive, Using the Lessons of the Amazon to Live Your Mission in Business and Life, launched on Tuesday. So
oh,
it's
congratulations.
On Amazon.com. Thank you. Yeah, it's on Amazon.com. It is available in bookstores nationwide. So that's a great way to learn more about the roots of what we do, understand the journey. And there, it's really loaded with practical tools. That's, you know, really the thrust of the book of
can,
how to navigate
can you tell us
difficult
just a
situations.
Teeny bit yeah. about it. Yeah, just so our audience can get a little bit of a feel for it.
For sure. So Fully Alive, it's a combination of a spiritual adventure story with a bit of a playbook for how to confront and navigate difficult situations in our lives. So I talked a bit about this idea of looking to understand obstacles as teachers, and mm-hmm. as well this entrepreneurial journey. So it's about how we built the business, leaning into the lessons from the Amazon. So valuing the unusual, the unexpected, looking to find strength and vulnerability. There's lots of lessons there for really anyone, either in a professional setting or a personal setting, going through a growth process and looking for tools and wisdom. So I'm really happy about that. And that's, yeah, it's available. People can check that out. Runa is available on sale.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just really quick. How was the process of writing a book for people that are out there that are thinking about it? Did you find it cathartic? Was it something that came out of, like, I wrote a book called Rewired and it just kind of felt like it came out of me. I had so much to share and I was pretty sure about what I wanted to share. And I just think that sometimes those things, I think they're very meant to be, but those things are something that helps us as authors heal. And I just wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, great question. And all of the above is probably the short answer what the process is like.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I was, you know, running a business and working, you know, 70, 80 hours a week doing that. So my writing process was going to the office at 4 a.m., drinking lots and lots of Guayusa and lots of Aruna and writing for a couple hours before work for a few months, which was really beautiful as well. I mean, I'm sure people have normal jobs. We don't often get the level of creative expression and deep reflection. So albeit my sleep was very limited during that time, it was really nourishing and cathartic, as you said, to get to integrate and understand a lot of the experiences that were happening in a very sort of rapid fire way the last many years. And not only understand them for myself, but then also really see again how relevant and applicable these Amazonian traditions are outside of their own context.
How cool.
So, yeah, it was a beautiful process that way.
Great. So, okay, I cut you off before, but so tell us now, a little bit about runa.org.
Oh, yeah, so runa.org is our company, an organizational website. People can learn about the products and find products near them and all that good stuff. Our foundation website, if people were interested in visiting the Amazon or volunteering, interning, runafoundation.org, R-U-N-A, foundation.org, has the foundation information. And if people are interested in the clinic I mentioned in Ecuador, that's called NAKU, N-A-K-U, and that website is naku.com.ec for Ecuador.
Fantastic. That's so amazing. So many amazing opportunities that you are giving people, and also you're sharing yourself with the world. Tyler, can you tell me just a little bit about what you do to stay healthy these days, mentally, emotionally, physically? I like my guests to be able to share, since you are someone who seems very conscientious of his health now, and probably always have been, but in a different way now that you are kind of, you know, you have transformed your own experience into ways of healing, and then now you're sharing that with others, which I think is a beautiful thing. So can you tell us a little bit about what makes you feel grounded and balanced these days? Anything you do?
For sure. So, you know, clean eating and exercise are obviously backbones of it. Do a lot of yoga. I box as well, which I really enjoy and is extremely grueling, which I like, as people might have picked up. I like challenging grueling experiences. A couple of practical things I do, which sort of types of stuff I share in the book as well. One of the practices I really believe in is I don't look at my phone right when I wake up. One of the things I found is that having even 20, 30, 40 minutes right when I wake up to just orient myself from my dream space to waking reality and not immediately jumping into the digital space is very simple and super transformative. When I started doing that, I found that I just got a lot more connection. The other thing I do, which is a bit of an Amazonian approach is I pay a lot of attention to my dreams. There I, you know, learned a lot about lucid dreaming and practicing the lucid dreaming techniques of being able to be awake in your dreams and just really paying attention to some of the subconscious messages that can come through in ways of integrating information and sort of non-rational ways, so to say.
Yeah.
So I find that to be a really, really important source for me, not just for my own health, but also for professional matters as well. So I think it's a very Amazonian perspective to really value what can come from dreams.
That's amazing. Oh, I wish I could have a whole show to talk to you about that now, but maybe we'll have you back on and we could talk about more about that. Thank you, Tyler, so much for being with us today. Please, everybody, get Tyler's book on Amazon right now, Fully Alive, Using the Lessons of the Amazon to Live Your Mission. And also your website is tylergage.com, T-Y-L-E-R-G-A-G-E. Thank you so much for being with us. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Have a great day and stay well.